Education has been a topic that's been in the news all week. We saw it earlier in the week when protesters marched for a couple hours, I think 3 hours, downtown in the Loop, asking for police to be no longer included as part of the safety and security protocol of CPS. And then we saw that the Chicago School of Board decided to uphold the contract, the $33 million contract with CPS for a little while longer. I think it's going to be back up for a vote either in July or August. And joining us right now is Nader Issa. He is a reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times, and he has a story right now, right on the front page of the Sun-Times website. Hi, Nader. How are you?
Hey, G. Good. Good. Thanks for having me again. It's always nice to be on your show.
Oh, thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're busy because I've seen a lot of your stories this week. There's been a lot of coverage.
It's been a really busy week, yeah.
You've been working
crazy.
Overtime.
It's been a busy year, actually, on the CBS beat.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. And if you really count the calendar year, if you think about sort of what you've been in for this whole, like, school calendar year, starting with even the teacher strike, I mean, it's been insane.
Yeah, I mean, the strike and then obviously the school closures because of the pandemic. We were like, oh, that's nothing's going to beat this. And then here's another historic vote that the Board of Education had to take on Wednesday.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, I want to talk about the story that's, you know, in the news right now. And, of course, your story is on the, like I said, the front page of the Chicago Sun-Times website. And it's about this ex-CPS principal that's charged mm-hmm. with injuring a school lunchroom worker. This just sounds really just from left field. How did this happen? Just give us some background.
Yeah, so it's a bizarre story. We started reporting on it, I believe, one of the first few days of April. We reported on that incident. There's a principal at an elementary school. It's called Franklin Elementary Fine Arts Center. It's this fine arts elementary school up in Old Town. And I think it was the third or fourth day after the coronavirus closures started. There's like a skeleton crew of mm-hmm. staff at the school passing out food to families coming to pick them up. And this principal of the school, he says he was goofing around, that the whole staff was goofing around, and he threw this like hard reusable plastic water bottle, and it hit a cafeteria manager in the face. And I mean, it must have been thrown pretty hard because she ended up being diagnosed with a concussion. There are a couple photos in that story you're mentioning of some mm-hmm. cuts to her face. She ended up having to have a like minor wound above her eye closed. It's just a bizarre story because you think about a principal in a school and the type of example they are expected to set. And then you balance that with throwing a water bottle that ends up causing a concussion for a school worker. And it's just hard to put the two together.
So, Nader, you know, I did take a look at the photos, and you think, like, water bottle, you don't think that could ever be thrown that hard
right.
to cause a concussion. But then if you, and I recommend everybody go on the ChicagoSunTimes.com website, because when you look at that photo, I mean, she looks bruised up, and you can see that there was some serious damage there.
Yeah, and I think when we say water bottle, a lot of people think of like
a disposable
Dasani or
yeah.
Ice Mountain, like one of the, yeah, no, it was like a pink mm-hmm. hard plastic reusable bottle, and yeah, I mean it must have been thrown pretty hard to cause that type of damage. And the thing with this too is that incident sort of started the investigation for CPS, right? And they got a report about that. They started looking into it. But then we wrote about it in, like I said, the beginning of April. Mm-hmm. And after that, there were a ton of people who reached out to CPS with complaints. And it was just one allegation after another that piled up. There were reports of racist nicknames that were used for staff employees. I'm not going to repeat any of them here, but they had to do a lot with just stereotypes for Black and Latino people. He was accused of some questionable handling of the school's special education program, was accused by a lot of parents of repeatedly yelling at them, belittling them in front of their students. And so all of that sort of combined to force CPS to try to fire him. And when they presented him with the findings of their investigation, he just said, I'm going to step down, I'll resign. And so that happened earlier this week. And then, of course, today is what you're referencing. He was charged with a felony this week for that bottle throwing incident. So he was in court today, felony aggravated battery to a school employee. And he's gonna have to go through the court process for that.
So this now ex-principal, he's 46 years old. His name is Kurt Jones. And as you mentioned, was at a top rated. I mean, when you think about the Old Town neighborhood, that's a posh neighborhood, top rated CPS school,
right?
Franklin Elementary Fine Arts Center. And, you know, it seems so. How did he climb up the ranks with, you know, having all of these issues?
I mean, you talk to people who knew him when he first got started, and he really was like a rising star in the district. He started down, well, first he was a teacher at Franklin, the school where he just stepped down from being principal last week. But after he taught there for a little bit, he went to Libby Elementary on the south side, and really, really helped turn that school around. They, from every metric that CPS uses, obviously, people question if the metrics are really useful for a lot of schools. But by every metric, he turned that school around and was seen as one of the high risers at CPS. Then he got this coveted job at Franklin. And one thing to note is he was so sort of looked at as an example of a good principal that he applied for this program called ISP. It basically allows principals to have very little oversight from the district. They aren't sort of categorized into these small networks of schools. And so if a principal applies to that and gets accepted, they sort of move out from that district oversight. And in this case, that obviously was needed. The oversight was needed because a lot of this stuff was going on for years.
Wow. I mean, fascinating. I'm sure when you were first working on the story, you had no idea that sort of this complaint by the manager of the lunchroom was then going to end up, the manager of the cafeteria was going to end up sort of breaking the dam, and then all of these complaints were going to come forward.
Well, I'll let you in behind the scenes a little bit, actually. We had started hearing about some of this stuff, some of the other complaints in, I think, January or February.
Okay.
And I, spent a couple months trying to reach out to people, see if people wanted to talk. And there were a lot of people who just did not want to talk because parents, for example, don't want to put their names out there and then put a target on their kids' back, whatever it was. And same thing with teachers, school staff. But then it just happened to be that this incident came about in March. And at that point, leading up to that point, we had no way to really write any story about this. But then that incident happened and we wrote about that. And like you said, the dam sort of started opening.
Do you think, obviously, he's been charged now with a felony, but do you think there's any other lawsuits that will come forward, like any civil lawsuits? What do you foresee?
It's hard to tell. I mean, with all of these things, obviously, litigation is always possible. Mm-hmm. It could be possible from him suing the district for wrongful termination. It could be possible for the lunchroom worker suing the ex-principal and the district. There's just any number of possibilities. So it's really hard to tell when it comes to litigation.
So has the embattled ex-principal, has he said anything for himself? Or, I mean, have you heard anything from CPS officials?
I've reached out to Kurt Jones, I think, maybe an average of 2 to 3 times every time we wrote a story. And I hadn't really heard anything back from him until this week, or maybe it was Friday when he resigned. He told me he's consulting an attorney, and then a couple of days ago he said that his whole life has been dedicated to the education of the students of the city of Chicago, and that every side has a story, and he'll tell his story soon. So that that side of the story remains to be told a little bit. I will say, though, that when CPS did its investigation, they gave me a report with all of their findings, and he had some of his defense in there. He basically said that a lot of the more dangerous incidents, like he admitted to 5 or 10 times tossing a chair down over a second floor balcony to try to startle some of his employees, and he sort of said that was a playful way to build a relationship with them. So that was one defense. He said the racist nicknames were sort of this group of employees who worked together that made them up about each other. You can take that for what it's worth, but that was a lot of his defense.
Well, Nader, incredible work. Nader Issa with the Chicago Sun-Times with the story about this ex-principal, CPS principal. It's going to be interesting to see as this story develops. Obviously, he's saying he's horsing around, but it sounds very bizarre and like as though he was terrorizing not only employees and students, but parents as well, which is also even like, oh my goodness, I can't believe that was happening. So thanks so much, Nader, for taking the time to talk with us. Really appreciate it.